Praise the Lord. All right, it's good to be in the house of God this evening with you. And we are once again live here in the sanctuary for our online Bible study. We just want to take this opportunity to welcome each one of you and to say good evening. Before we get ready to get started, we've got one or two prayer requests. We're going to pray in general. Then we want to say a special prayer request out there. We got Sister Lori's at home tonight. She's got a few things she's been doing, and she's been out there working around with Uncle Joe a little bit. We want to say hello to them out there. I'm sure they're watching live right now. We're going to go ahead and pray and then see if we can get started. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just thank you again for the opportunity again to come into your house and for the word of God. We pray and ask tonight that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in thy sight. Father, we pray for all of those right now who are suffering with various illnesses and things in the local church. We pray especially for Uncle Joe right now. And Lord, we ask that you would help him in all of those things that are concerning his physical body right now, the back pain and other issues that he may be experiencing, Father, because we know that you are able to do all of the healing that is necessary from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. And right now, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would give him the strength as he continues to live out his life through the calling that you've given him. Father, we thank you for him. We ask that you would continue to bless Sister Lori as she continues to help in ministering in that situation. We thank you for all of this, even now, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to go ahead and see if we can get started. Sunday, we did a message that was entitled, Consider the Ant. Consider the Ant. And we had as our thesis statement the following. This is what we said, that God gives us answers to help avoid the trap of poverty that ensnares many in its evil cycle. We are admonished to consider the ant for the answer. And if you recall, on Sunday, we spent time saying that we weren't talking about just poverty in terms of you not having money or you being broke, even though we did say that that is one of the things that the scriptures are talking about. But we wanted to dig a little bit deeper into the concept of poverty, not just being financial, but also in other areas, our spiritual life, relationships, and other things that we experience in our life because of the fact that we have been, as the scriptures refer to, slothful. So we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to read verse 6 through 11 and see what the Bible tells us. So beginning at verse 6, this is what we have. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. All right, now let's just talk a little bit about these scriptures for a minute. If we go back, let's put back up verse 6. The Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And we said that our title of our message was Consider the Ant. And we wanted to focus on what God said here about considering the ant. And we wanted to first focus on what God said about being sluggard. Now, we define the word sluggard, and we said that sluggard actually meant to be slothful, indolent, lazy. All of these words describe what it means to be sluggard. And so we said that God is obviously trying to get something across to us that he wants us to pay attention to. And we said that although we do not preach and believe, you know, as some people do, that God is all concerned about our prosperity, a lot as people talk about it and spend a lot of time focusing on that, we do believe that God is concerned about man and the time that we do spend here, to make sure that although our lives are lived out so that when it's over, we will receive the reward of eternal life. As well, God gives us instructions as to how to live while we're here. And he says that some of the things that we see, the result of most of what we see, is due to the fact of how we choose to live. And then he gives us hints and then straight out commands in the Bible as to what we should do to go and undo or to not come into some of these situations. What he uses with the ant, and we said that what we were going to do was to take a look at ants. You know, we were going to just kind of, let's talk ants is what we said. Let's talk ants. So we said that what we wanted to do was just to take a few things that we pointed out that we thought when we looked at ants and when we looked at what the scriptures were saying, that God wanted us to understand about our own life. The first thing we said was that about the ant, that nobody guides the ant. Nobody forces the ant. Nobody commands performance from the ant. They have no chief, no commander. The ant has what we call in a built-in standard. This is what I said, a built-in standard. And when you look at the scriptures, you see God telling us that. He says he wanted us to think about this. He says, consider the ant, go look at the ant. And in looking at the ant, he says, I want you to think about something. The ant doesn't have anybody guiding it. It doesn't have any overseer. He has no ruler. And in all of this, the ant still recognizes a need that it has to provide food for itself. The ant gets up and goes and does what it has to do without anybody having to get the ant out of bed, anybody having to tell the ant to go to work, anybody having to tell the ant to keep working, anybody having to tell the ant not to eat all the food, keep some for the winter. No one's telling the ant all this, but the ant is doing it. So why would God tell you to consider that? Because for the most part, I said on Sunday, once you grow up, whatever that means, you know, you tend to move out of your parents' house especially, there is going to be no one out there telling you, you need to get up and go to work. You need to save your money. You need to work harder. You need to work later. You need to take care of this. Nobody's going to be doing that. And so if you don't understand what you need to do, you're going to end up in poverty. That's what God is basically saying, that the road to poverty is paved by people who don't pay attention to what they need to do, don't do it, and they spend too much time in the bed, sleep. When you look, he says in verse 10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. In verse 9, he says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of your sleep? So God is saying, look, you need to get up. You got to go to work. Why do people think that they can lay around all day and somehow riches and wealth and just being in a decent position is going to come about? Now, right now, like I said again, we're paying attention strictly to the financial aspect of what God said. But what we don't want to do is to lose the overall angle of this thing, that it applies to all these other areas of your life that we mentioned earlier, spiritual, relationships, and your finances, we said. And there are other areas, but these three give us a lot to work with. So we said that when you think about what's most important, you know, I was telling Sister Kaylin today, I had a meeting with her about our kids' academy that we're putting together, Youth Academy, and I told her that sometimes one of the hardest things for me to do when I'm preaching is to stay on topics like the one I'm on now that deal with a current life and making sure that things work out for you in this current life, because the most important thing, which is a part of that first piece we talked about as it related to poverty, is that Jesus makes it clear that there's going to come a day when we all die and we're going to have to meet God. And so God is not going to be interested in what wealth you bring, how much money you made while you were here, how many houses you own, how many cars you had. None of that's going to matter to God when you get there. What's going to matter is whether or not you have a relationship with his son Jesus. And if you don't, the Bible is clear that it says that many of us will spend our eternity lost and separated from God and an eternal punishment. And that is something that really troubles me. And I'm always cognizant of that for the people I teach and for myself. So that even though what? I'm interested in making sure that the life I'm living now, that I build it up as best I can and make it as successful as I can through the things that God says in his word, but at the same time to make sure that I'm never spiritually lacking and so poor and in such poverty of spirit that when the time comes, I end up like Jesus told the church at Laodicea, that you don't know that you're naked and poor and blind, and that you basically have missed it with God. And so we have to understand then that if you're going to get in a better relationship with God, you can't spend all your time sleeping. You need to spend your time reading the Word of God. You know, so many people go to bed with their Bible. So many people go to bed while they're praying. So many people fall asleep praying. They fall asleep reading their Word. You know, they don't put any time or effort into reading, any time or effort into praying. And then they wonder why they don't have a relationship with God, one that will carry them through the tough times, one that will carry them through the times that don't go the way they would like. You know, it's raining outside now. And the Bible makes it plain that it rains on the just and the unjust. Today, it's raining on everybody in Baton Rouge, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. It doesn't matter. The rain is falling. Well, we have to understand that about life. Life happens to everybody. Life happens to Christians. Life happens to non-Christians. Jesus said, those who build their life on what I say, that when the rain stops and the storms stop, their house will still be standing. He says it's the ones who don't do it, that when the storms come and the rains fall and all of the tremendous things happen, that when their house falls, their house will fall, and it's a terrible falling. So ultimately then we see here that God is giving us information. So right now, say for instance when it comes to I'm 60 years old, right, and you can't apply for Medicare until you're 65. Okay. But at some point, I know I'm going to be 65. When am I going to be 65? 5 years from today. Okay. But as of today, I know everything I could know possibly about Medicare. Why? Because I know Medicare is coming. So I'm not going to get caught off guard when they say that, sir, you're late filing for Medicare. I'll say, well, I thought I could file when I'm 65. Well, you can, but you only have a seven-month window. 3 months before your 65th birthday, the month that you're 65, and 3 months after. If you don't file within that seven-month window, you get penalized for life. There is a life penalty that you get hit with that could cost you quite a bit of money that you end up having to pay because you fail to file. Well, folks, why do I know that information? Because I went and read it. I decided to go find out now, today, not when it's time to file, not when I'm right up on top of it to do it, but give yourself enough time to research, see what you might need to know as you know the day is approaching. This is how life works. And many times people will look and think, wow, you just got it so together, when really all you're doing is considering the ant. You know, if you look at what happens with the ants in the wintertime, the ants are underground, they're feeding well, eating well, and they come out alive. They've been underground the whole time. Well, how do you live underground the whole winter and come out alive? Well, during the summer, you gather your food. So without anybody guiding the ant or anybody telling the ant what to do, the ant is taking care of his business. They have a built-in standard. Now, we talked about this built-in standard, and we looked at some scriptures. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 through 12, we looked at these verses. This is what it says. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. For you yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Okay, now, you can look at these scriptures and see plainly that Paul then is teaching a doctrine that many times people fail to recognize, even as Christians, that Paul was teaching through the church that we should be saying to people, you need to have a job. Now, I understand that, you know, you believe in God and you trust in God for all your needs to be met and all these things that people say. But Paul said that we're doing what we're doing as an example to you all so you understand it. He says, because as apostles, we really do have the right to command you all to take care of us. This is what Paul said. He says, but we're not using that power as apostles because we want to be examples to everybody else. And so he says, this is what we want you to do. You need to get a job. If you don't work, you should not eat. So Paul is saying that if a person is not willing to go out and to do what they have to do to get a job, to take care of themselves, to work, then the church should not be chargeable for those individuals. They should not be coming to the church looking for a handout, trying to get support, trying to get money if they refuse to go to work. Now, there's some people we understand. They have disabilities. They can't work. There are reasons that they can't work. But the Bible says plainly right here, the church should not be chargeable for individuals who have the capability to work but will not do it. Paul said that they're busybodies, running around, doing whatever they're doing. And I mentioned Sunday how many times people have gotten into this thing about with ministry. And they'll say, well, you know, I want to be in full-time ministry. And what that means to them is that, you know, they get to quit their jobs and the church will take care of them and the church is responsible for everything that's necessary for them to live the kind of life they want to live. Not recognizing that maybe they need to get a job if they want to do that and the church can support some of what they do, give them some income and some of it, but if they want to make even more, they might need to have a job. You know, they need to go to work. And some churches, just like ours, when we first got started, church was too small to even consider supporting anybody or any money going out to anybody like that. You know, you have to take care of those things that are necessary. And that's what Paul was saying, that you have to recognize. People would say to me many years ago, when are you going to get into full-time ministry? And I tell people today, what I'm doing today doesn't feel any different than when it did when I was working on my job, except it's easier now because I don't have to go to my full-time job. I also had a full-time job in church. I had to prepare my sermons like I do now. I had to minister to people like I do now. I had to pray for people like I do now. I had to come to Bible study like I do now. I had to come to Sunday church like I do now. I had to cut grass like I do now. We do things around the building like I do now. There's nothing different about it, except I don't go to work on my secular job anymore because I retired from that job. I worked over 25, 26 years on that job, and eventually I retired. But the point is that God expects us to contribute to what it is that's necessary to bring about what it is that we think that we want. And he says to people in the church, if they don't work, they should not eat. So God is giving us some understanding what he needs us to do to consider this end. So for our future, if we want to see ourselves have a financial future of any significance or something that might eventually could turn into something, we have to look and realize God expects us to work. In John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus made this statement. He said that we need to recognize that he said, no man takes his life from him, but he laid it down of himself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment I've received of my Father, a built-in standard. You know, Jesus didn't need anybody to tell him what to do, to push him to what he needed to do. He knew what he needed to do. The standard was built into him from his study of the Word of God, from him understanding and knowing what it is that he had to do. And so we must have a built-in standard, one that will allow us never to quit, to consider those things, to take advantage of the day that is upon us when it's there. We've got to recognize that these are the things that the ant teaches us when we look at it. Just look at the ant and look at what God is saying. When he says to in the Thessalonians, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. When you watch a group of ants working, there's not one ant that doesn't have something in his hands, something on his back, something, some kind of way that ant is in the process of helping the other ants to get done what needs to be done. You know, Sister Miranda sent us a little video once of some ants where there were a couple of them that were carrying something, and it was pretty heavy, and another ant came over and assisted them to carry what was there. Sister April sent me one where the ants were carrying a cookie, which is crazy. I mean, you know, it's a big old cookie, and the ants, though, have this cookie, and they're carrying this cookie because they have gone and made up their minds, and ants will get after a job that is way bigger than them, and when they realize that one of them can't do it, or two of them, or three, they will get enough of them to get the job done. And so God says, I need you to pay attention to this. And see, this is the same thing that you can see in the ministry of Jesus. You know, he assembled his disciples, and as the church grew, they're like these ants. You've got all these people that are working toward one goal, which is the exaltation of Jesus. And so there may be some things that one of us can't do or two of us can't do, but together we get the job done. This is why the Bible refers to it as the body of Christ. You know, on Sunday I said, you know, you and Jesus, you make up the team. I said, but you have to realize that this is in your circle and in what you're doing, you come to realize that, yes, you can get the job done, you and Christ, for what he's calling you to do. But sometimes part of what you have to do is in joining with the rest of the body of Christ to get a job done. And because of that, everything gets handled the way it is, and nobody is carrying more weight than they really need to or have to. But this is the way to that God wants us to see that ants do. The second thing we can observe when you look at ants, ants never quit, okay? Ants never quit. Just watch them. They never quit. So remember what we're doing. Now, God says, look, sluggard person. So if somebody came to me and said, Pastor, I have a problem. I need money. I need money. I just have trouble. I need money. Okay, first thing we need to investigate is what's going on in our lives. Are we being sluggard? Are we being slowful, lazy, indolent? What are we doing? What's going on in our lives? Now, we're talking about money because that God talks about food and stuff, but remember what we said. We're talking about anything spiritual, relationships. You got a problem in your relationship. You got a problem with something spiritual. You got a problem in your finances. Let's talk ants. Let's consider this and think about it. Or am I being slowful? I mean, you know, am I? Am I being slowful in these areas? If I am, that's the first thing I've got to attack. I got to say to myself, look, God has already told me, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. People say, well, I can't get a job. Well, have you interviewed? Have you tried to get a job? Have you done whatever you think you could try to do to see if somebody is willing at least to hire you with all the things that are going on out there? Well, you have a job, you say. Okay, let's look at that. You have a job. Well, now the question is, now that if you've gotten yourself into some type of financial difficulty, it may be that we need then to look at some other areas, possibly, in how you're handling your finances. Well, some people, unfortunately, the only way that they've got out is they got to get another job. And people say, well, Pastor, surely you don't expect us to work all the time. No, just enough to get out of the problems you got. And once you're out, you can quit your other job. I'm not saying you have to have two jobs your whole life. What I am saying, though, is that if you put yourself in a situation where one job isn't working, then walking around thinking I'm going to lay hands on your head and some kind of way money going to fall out the sky or there's something we're going to do. God doesn't say that. That's not what God says. God says, I need you to consider that. I want you to look at it. If my relationships are sluggish and don't have the vitality in them that I want, I need to look at that to see, what am I sowing? Over the last couple of weeks, we did messages. We've been constantly talking about sowing and reaping, that the Bible is clear that we are reaping what we have sown. The Bible says that if we sow, we'll reap. So we have to realize that whatever we're getting is the result of something that we've been planting. And we talked about how the way all of these principles work, that a farmer doesn't go to the ground with his need. He goes with seed. He doesn't go there and say, well, you know, I need some cucumbers. Well, I need some watermelon. Well, I need some corn. The farmer doesn't do that. The farmer comes out with seeds, not needs. He doesn't come out and say, you know, I need this, I need that. Got it. I understand you need it, but you got to sow for your need. Now, a lot of times people get all frustrated about this whole sowing and reaping thing, but they need to realize that God is the one who put this planet together and put it in place. I didn't do it. I came way after God did this, and I'm just preaching what's the truth and observation. You gotta plant something if you wanna reap something. And you have to plant what you want to reap. So it would seem to me if you want watermelon, you plant watermelon seeds. The way the earth is designed, you don't plant watermelon seeds and get apples, and somehow you mad trying to figure out why the earth playing with you. That don't happen. You plant apples, you get apples. You plant corn, you get corn. You plant watermelon, you get watermelon. So it would seem to me to make sense when God says that he'll give bread, seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So in other words, God says, and he says that in connection with sowing and reaping and connection with giving. He tells him in Corinthians, he says, look, you know, Paul said, I'm not here trying to get anything from you. He says, I'm only telling you this for your benefit so that you can have fruit that abound to your account. He says, look, God's going to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He says, look, one sows, another reaps. The bottom line is that I have to sow what it is that I'm trying to reap. So then maybe I need to look at what am I sowing if I'm having financial difficulty as well. Am I faithful in my financial obligations to God? A lot of times people will say, well, God did away with all of that when Jesus died. And they talk about the tithing in the Old Testament and why there's no such thing as tithing in the New Testament. And although I would agree that there's no law that says you have to pay any tithes or do nothing else in the New Testament, you cannot believe that God does not expect people to honor him with their substance. It says that throughout the Bible. And Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So people in this dispensation give because they choose to, not because God is commanding them to and they have to, but because they choose to give and they recognize the tithe was the place that God started in the Old Testament. That's not where they have to end. You can give more if you want to. But if you choose not to do that, I mean, I can't tell you what to do. I'm just telling you what how the world works, you know, you reap what you sow. I don't know what else could be going on. So I have to look at that. In my relationships, I'm reaping what I'm sowing, you know, in these things. Now, remember we said the ant never quits. We went to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. So we said if we look at ants, we see this. So let's read the verse here, what Paul said. He says, know you not that they which run in a race run all but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. So let's stop right there. Now, remember what we're talking about is that you never quit. The ants never quit. We're looking at them, and the ants, we say, never quit. We see them going back and forward, back and forward, back and forward. They just don't stop. They just keep going. They keep going. So God is saying, look, you're going to have times when things aren't going to go the way you want. You got to understand that. You're going to have times where things are going to be tough. You're going to run into obstacles that are bigger than you. You're going to have things that are going to not look like you're ever going to get through them. But the truth of the matter is, consider the ant. They don't quit. You just watch them. It's almost like you'll see them struggling with something, trying to carry it. And sooner or later, like we said, whether other ants show up or something, they're going to get away to get that thing away from there. Okay? If they got to take it apart a little piece at a time, you'll come back and that whole thing will be gone. Just go and watch, leave a piece of meat out or something like that and allow ants to get to it. They don't eat it there. That's not what's going on. But by the time you give it a little while, that thing will be gone. That whole thing will be gone. Why? Because they've come back piece by piece by piece. They never quit until they get the job done. See, Paul said that you have to realize, and he said that people that run in a race, he was using competition, Let's put that scripture up. He uses a competition. He says, you know you not that they which run in a race, everybody's running, but only one person's going to get the prize. So Paul said, run like that. Run like you're in a race with a bunch of people there, and you're trying to run to get the prize. He says, run that way. Run so that you may obtain. Run. See, if you read it like that, you realize if you quit, you're never gonna, you cannot be the one to get the prize if you quit. If you're in a race and everybody's running and you quit, you're never gonna be the one to win. And so when you look at ants, nobody's giving up. They're all in the race together. They're all trying to get this thing back to the underground cavern where they are. And because of that, they don't give up. And this is why I said this is very similar to us as believers, because we're all in the race. Just like all the ants are working together to try to make a particular thing happen. We're all in this together, but we all have our own part to play, and we all have our own crown to earn. We all have our own crown out there at stake. And Paul says, then run so that you may obtain. So then he goes on in the next verse, verse 25, and it's what he says. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now let's pay attention for a minute to the mastery. He says, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate. Now that word temperate means to have self-discipline, self-control. If you look at the ants without having to talk to them, because of course they're not going to talk to you, you sit there and you watch them and you understand that they have this thing that Paul is saying we should have. You know, the ants, Paul says if you want to master something, you have to be temperate. You have to have self-control. You have to have the willingness to keep working at it and working at it and working at it until you finally get it. You're not going to get it the first time. Sometime you're not going to get it the second time. You may not get it the third time. But if you keep trying and keep trying and keep trying, sooner or later, you're going to get it. If you think about how you would have learned to walk, you may not remember it, but if you look at a baby today and think about how they learn to walk, they keep trying. They get up, they fall. They get up, they fall. They crawl, they fall. They get up, they crawl, they fall. They hang, they stand up on something, they let go, they fall. But eventually, one day, they stand up and they're walking. And once they start walking, they never crawl anymore. You don't ever see them crawling around once they can start walking. They figured it out. I don't need to crawl anymore. And so it's the same thing with this. So these ants, they don't come out full grown. And the ants recognize there's only so much that it is that they can do. But I was reading today about, I think it was a wildebeest. And they were talking about how the difference between certain animals and humans and the time that we get to learn how to do stuff before it becomes critical. And they said that a wildebeest, the baby, in order for it to learn to run from, I can't remember what the predator was, the time that it gets to learn to run between the time that it's born and the time that it has to start running practically, it was some phenomenal time, like it was less than an hour. And if that thing hadn't learned how to get up and run within less than an hour, whatever predator showed up was going to get it because they mama run off, from what I can understand what I was reading. So basically, they had a very short window of time to learn how to do something. The difference with us and even with ants, even though as we consider them, is that we get a good window of time to learn how to do some things. God gives us this time, putting us with our parents. That's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go while they're young, so that when they're old, they won't depart. So we get a window of opportunity as humans to learn. And if we would pay attention right now, pay attention. If somebody were to ask me right now, well, Pastor, how do you think it's going to go the next 5 years? Well, all I could tell them is probably just like the last five. All right, guess what's going to happen tonight? I'll tell you what's going to happen in about 12 hours or less, in about 10 hours. The sun's coming up in about 10 hours. In about 10 or 12 hours after that, the sun's going down. Give it a couple months, the sun's coming out and spring's gonna happen. Give it a few more months, it's gonna be summer. Give it a couple more months, it'll be fall and it's gonna be winter again. More than likely, the next 5 years, gonna be just like the five that passed. So there'll be sun coming up, sun going down, fall, winter, spring, summer. That's life. If children learn while they're young that they don't have 50 years to play, you ain't got 20 years to play once you get past a certain age. Time is short. and you need to get to work. If you don't want to end up broke, if you don't want to end up in a situation where you can't take care of yourself, if you don't want to end up in a situation where you're behind, as they say, the eight ball in any area of life, you have to get about your business and never quit when the obstacles come, because they will come. They're going to come. But you got to keep pushing. You got to keep moving. You got to understand, like Paul says, you got to run. If you're going to master this thing, you got to have self-control. You can't throw it all away because things ain't going the way you want. Well, that's all right. Nothing's happening for me. I'm just going to quit school. Well, things aren't the way they're going. I'm just going to quit this job. Well, I don't like the way this is going. I'm just going to quit this relationship. Well, I don't like the way this is going. I'm just going to quit reading the Bible. Well, I'm just going to quit going to church. I don't like the way they do stuff over there anyway. You can't live like that. If you live that way, you're going to end up 5 years from now in a place that you don't want to be. The time is going to do the same no matter what. Night, day, spring, winter, summer, all that's going to happen. But if you don't make changes and stay temperate, keep self-control, you'll allow the winters and the summers and the springs and the hots and the colds and the rains and the hurricanes and all that stuff to change the direction of where you should be going, which you should not allow to happen if you have self-discipline, like Paul said. Paul went on to say, let me read the rest of this verse. Paul said in the next verse, he says, I therefore run not as uncertainly. In other words, Paul said, I'm not running like I don't know where I'm going. He says, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. When he says beat the air, he's talking about shadow boxing. So even back then, you had people who were shadow boxing, you know, people who would box, and they would beat the air. Paul meant like this. So that's shadow boxing when you say beat the air. Paul said, I'm not running like I don't know where I'm going. I'm not in here shadow boxing. Paul then went on to say, he said, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, look, I never quit disciplining myself. Paul said, I'm always, even though what? He was an apostle, and Paul had, obviously by this time, Paul was had all these churches he had established and all this stuff he was doing, but Paul recognized he had to keep himself under control. He had to stay on himself. He had to keep his own body under. Paul said, I don't want to be preaching to people, telling people what they need to do, and I don't do it myself. You're talking about the ant and talking about how to live right and talking about what you need to do, but I'm not doing it. And Paul said, I need to press. I need to stay on myself. I need to work hard. I don't need to just keep telling people they need to work hard. I need to work hard. I need to push until I'm at the end. And when I get to the end, then fine, put me in the box and go and put me in the ground. And we're done. But the point is, I cannot give up. Have you ever seen a dead ant? Unless you stepped on it. I mean, really, have you ever walked up and just seen a dead ant? For the most part, you don't. I've seen people kill ants. They throw gasoline on them. I've seen all kinds of stuff, spray them with some weed killer. But I've never seen an ant just laying there dead, just out of nothing. He just exhausted himself. He's just dead. I don't know what happens to him, but I've just never seen it like that. So my thing is, you need to keep working, keep moving, don't quit. Now, the next thing about ants, we said if you observe ants and look at them, now they don't tell you this, but you can observe this with them. The ant has to be thinking winter in the summer. He's thinking winter in the summer. Now, I said this Sunday, I said, think about what God is telling you. He says, consider the ant and don't be slothful. And if you don't want to end up in poverty, you don't want to have a situation where you got relationships that aren't working for you and other stuff aren't working for you, etc. Once you think about it. And I went to the book of Ecclesiastes and I used it, those verses in Ecclesiastes, and we'll start at verse 1. Let's go and put that up there. It says this, remember now your creator in the days of your youth. So Solomon says, remember God while you're young. While the evil days come not. What days is he talking about? As we get older. As we get older, the days get hard. Sometimes they can be rough. He says, nor the years draw nigh when you'll say, I have no pleasure in them. This is what tends to happen. The older we get, the tougher it gets, the harder it gets to do the things we used to do, just to walk, just to do this and the other thing. And all of a sudden we begin to say, man, I don't enjoy this life. But he says, remember God when we're young. In verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. So Paul said, Solomon says, Ecclesiastes, this is what I'm talking about when I said think winter in the summer. I said to a young person, especially 40 or less, maybe, I'll put it like that, maybe even 50 or less, 60 or less, I said. But for sure, he says, consider your creator when you're young. Do like the ant. The ant is always thinking winter in the summer. If you look at them on the move, they're not sitting around. It's easy to let the summer fake you out. See, folks, it ain't going to always be good outside. It ain't going to always be shining with the sun. It's not going to always be good. And if you allow the summer to fake you out, then you won't prepare for the winter. You have to get ready. It's coming. That's why I said, you know, if I live 30 more years, that means I'll be 90 years old. Well, there's no sense in me believing somehow I'm going to be doing what I'm doing today. God's already said don't think like that. But if it's coming, I got to do something to make sure that what? I get ready. Well, the first thing God said is, you thank me right now today. While you can get around and do all the stuff you're doing and able to do it, every time you get out of that bed, the first thing you ought to do is say, thank you, God, for letting me get out of this bed. When you're able to go do what you got to do, you say, thank you, God, for allowing me to be able to do it. Say it while you're young and while you're doing it, and don't run all around like you got it all under control and it's all your doing and everything's going great because you're so great and wonderful. Think about the winter while it is summer. And while it's summer, if you're thinking about the winter in the summer, you'll gather like the ant does. See, let's go back and look at it in Proverbs chapter 6. Let's go and look and see what God tells us about that. In Proverbs chapter 6, let me go back here and look at this verse. If you notice right here in verse 8, it says, provides her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So in other words, the ant, without having anybody to tell him, no guide, no overseer, no ruler, provides meat for herself in the summer. In other words, it's out getting the meat now. Go get it in the summertime. Go get the food in the harvest time. Go get it and bring it and put it back away so that when the time comes that you can't go out because it's too cold. See, the comparison is like getting old, really old, or other things. That way you don't have to go out hunting for food now. I don't have to go because I brought it in. Now, folks, listen to me. This doesn't mean that you have to be old and rich. I'm not talking about that because if you have the right relationships, I say this all the time to people. If you have the right relationships, I believe that you'll get old and you won't have to worry about it. God's going to have people around you and people in the places to help take care of you and to help do the things that you need to get done because you lived your life right before God. He's going to take care of it. It doesn't mean that I got to have it all stacked up somewhere. That's not what I'm talking about now. The idea, though, is that while I'm young, I invest in my life. I invest in relationships. See, if you invest in relationships when you're young, in the summer of your life, when the winter of your life comes, you don't have to worry about those people because they're going to be there because you invested in their life in the summertime of your life. And now in the winter of your life, they'll be there to assist and help. You won't have to worry about it. You won't have poverty in your relationships. You know, because there are a lot of old people I know with a lot of money and no friends. Some of them are locked up in nursing homes, you know, locked up in very nice places, but they don't have anybody to visit them. Nobody cares. Nobody talks to them. Why? Because they spend all their time work. They never invested in their relationships. So although they ended up maybe like the ant, financially wealthy, but they were spiritually and relationally poor and ended up dying lonely people. And that is not what God wants for our lives. So the ant is always, it appears, thinking winter in the summer because it's easy for the summer to trick you. A lot of times people go out and spend a bunch of money when they're making a lot of money. Why? Because they keep thinking, I guess the good times are going to keep rolling. Well, sometimes that doesn't happen, and winter is definitely coming. Now, the next thing we said was that if you really pay attention, then that also means then that the ant thinks summer in the winter. The ant thinks summer in the winter. It's going to get better. Now, most people say, well, how you know that if you don't talk to ants? You just watch them. All you got to do is watch them. I mean, you watch ants. In the wintertime, you don't find them anywhere. But surely they don't go underground and give up. Surely they don't go underground and say, well, I guess that's it. We're never coming out of here. It's over for us. I guess we should, you know what, just lay here and go to ant heaven. I mean, what do they do? No, the ants recognize that, guess what? The summer's coming. The summer's coming. There's going to come a moment where things are going to change. And although it may be bad right now, I'm sure the ants don't necessarily care to be living underground all that time. And depending on how long the winter, think about this, depending on how long the winter goes, there comes a moment where, guess what? Their food could be running short. All kind of things could be happening. But they know that what? Summer is coming. And you have to realize this. Now, what I did was I took some scriptures out of the book of Acts and out of Psalms. And I used the scriptures in Acts chapter 16 where Paul and Silas had gone into this town. They had preached. And after they had done this great sermon and all, they end up getting beat by folks and thrown in prison. And the Bible tells us that their reaction wasn't what people normally would expect after you have gotten beaten and thrown in prison. And so we begin at verse 23, and this is what it says. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. All right, so I use this scripture to talk about how this concept of thinking summer in the winter, it's going to get better, okay? Now, Paul and Silas, you know, you can't get any worse, folks, than thinking you go preach a sermon, and after it's over, they beat you and then throw you in prison. I mean, it can't get any worse than that. And the Bible says they threw them in the deepest prison to make sure that they didn't get out, and their hands and their feet were band together. And that way then that what? They couldn't even move any parts of their bodies because they had tied them up, right? That is not the kind of condition that most of the people want to do praise service with. So all of a sudden, you would find this would be a great opportunity for them to be complaining. You know, I can't believe this. All that I've done for God. All that I gave up for God, all that I've done for God, and he gonna let these people beat me and throw me in prison. This just ain't right. This just ain't right. That's not what Paul and them did. What Paul and them did was they were thrown in prison, and the Bible says at midnight, and midnight is typically the darkest time. Why they call it that? Typically, if you go out at midnight, it is the darkest of times. The Bible says at midnight, instead of Paul and Silas saying, this is just so sad and so wrong, they sang praises, the Bible says. This is when they began singing praises to God. They prayed and sang praises. Think about it. It's hard to get people out to prayer service, and ain't nothing even going on in their life. The Bible says that these people are in prison, and they are praying and singing praises to God. To where other people who were in the same condition they were in could hear them. All right? All the other prisoners could hear it. And then the Bible says something happened, that suddenly there was a great earthquake. God responded to their prayer and their praise in the midst of their situation. It got better. And see, folks, this is the thing that we have to understand. They were praying and praising before the earthquake. They didn't. See, a lot of people, they're waiting on the earthquake so they can praise God. They're waiting for the thing to happen. Then they'll praise God. They're waiting on the suddenly. Then they'll praise God. They wait on the suddenly. Then they'll pray. Waiting on the suddenly. Then they'll do something. When God's like, you got the order reversed. Remember, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. We said that faith is what? Being certain, being sure of what I expect, what I want to happen, being certain of what I do not see. Faith is being sure of what I expect. So Paul and Silas, they're praying. They are sure. They expect the deliverance of God. They believe that God is going to do, because Paul had been saying all along, he knew what God had called him to do. He knew he had to go before Caesar. He knew he had to get to Rome. There was no way he could die in that prison. Paul knew what he expected, and therefore he believed it. It wasn't so much about what, oh, I believe, I'm hoping that God will get me out of here. God has to get me out of here to get me where he told me he was going to take me. That's what faith is. Faith is being sure of what you expect. You know it's going to come to pass. And this is how those ants are down there. They're thinking summer in the winter. Why? Because they know. Folks, I'm telling you now. That's why I say it. I know what's going to happen this year. I know what's going to happen this year. If Jesus doesn't return and nothing crazy happens with a world war or something that put a blanket of nuclear dust across the planet, bottom line is the sun's going to come up and the sun's going to go down. We're going to have winter, spring, summer, and fall. God said those things are going to happen until he says they're not going to happen again. We know that. And because we know that, we can expect that. This is the way life works. It will get better. And that's what you have to be saying as a believer. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening, consider the ant. The ant knows that the summer is coming. It's going to get better. I'm coming up out of the ground, and I'm going to go back to work and do what I do as an ant. Take your food from your picnic and put it for my winter coming up next year. That's what they do. Now, they probably down there planning, because they know every year you show up at one of these parks and know exactly where your blanket's going to be, and they know exactly what you're bringing out there, whatever ribs, sausage, chicken, whatever it is you cooking, they already know, and they got a plan to be there at your family reunion just like you do every year. Finally, we said that the ant takes advantage of the day. They take advantage of the day. They get it done. They know time is short. Think about it. Now, just I want you to think about this. Consider an ant. You ever seen ants at night? You ever seen ants outside at night working? For the most part, you don't see ants out at night. No. Ants work in the daytime. They take advantage of the day. The ants get the job done. They know time is short. The sun comes up, got to do it. I remember they used to tell me if you want to kill wasps, they would say you always wait until the evening time. Don't go out there in the middle of the day or first thing in the morning unless it's really early in the morning, because those wasps are already stirred up. So you want to wait until the cool of the day in the evening. Then you get your little stuff, whatever you're going to do, spray them before they come out of there and kill them off. There's a time when these insects work. They understand it. They have to take advantage of the daylight. Now, think about it. You see birds flying around at night? Very seldom. I mean, every now and then you might see one bird doing something strange at night. But you don't see that as a group. Take advantage of the day. You have to understand. It's amazing how many people go to work and they come home to, man, I've been working all day. And if they really stop long enough to analyze what they did at work, they might have did a couple hours of work. They didn't do a full day of work. What most people need to think about when it comes to work is they should have a motto for themselves and they should do this. Work when you at work and play when you playing. No play at work. Bottom line is that work is not to play, and play is not for work. If you would go ahead on work while you at work, then you could play when it was time to play. But the problem is that most people have got this kind of half thing going. They working, but they're not really working. And therefore, what it does is they never get everything done. So then when they're trying to relax, they can't relax because they're too busy thinking about what they didn't do when they should have been working. And so you have to understand, ants get the job done. Look, in John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said it himself about his own time. Jesus said this, and he's the Son of God. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no man can work. See, Jesus understood that there was a nighttime coming for him. And once the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers and the elders put their minds to killing Jesus, that was it. The clock was set. The time was short. And Jesus knew the whole time he was working, I got to take care of the business God has given me. I don't have a lot of time. I got to work while it's daytime, because the night is coming when you can't work. There's going to come a moment in your life, even, we said, as you get older, that you can forget it. You're just not going to be able to do what you used to do. But then there's no need to be sad if you worked during the day. If you did what you had to do, you hang up your boots and that's it. It's over. It's time. Got it. I'm good. But I did what I had to do. No regrets. Nothing left on the table. Did what you had to do. Keep pushing. That's what the ants are doing. They're taking advantage of the daytime. And you have to do this. You have to realize that this is why God says, stop sleeping and rolling over in the bed. He says in verse, let me go back to where it is in verse, in chapter 6. Look at what he says in verse 10. He says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come as one that traveleth, and your want as an armed man. So think about this. Now look at what he uses. He says, so shall your poverty come. Now, in other words, God's saying, you may not see your poverty today. He says, but if you're one who likes to sleep, and you like to stay in your bed, and you like to just all that, God says, just watch. Your poverty is going to come. Put that verse back up. Your poverty is going to come as one that traveleth. See, in other words, it ain't here today. It ain't here yet, but it's coming. And he's saying you need to understand it that way. He says, and they're going to want, your want's going to show up like an armed man. Want, poverty, armed man. You know what he's talking about? Stick him up. Stick them up. You're going to be like, what? Why did this happen? He's saying, look, you in the bed sleeping. I'm like, oh, I'm loving this. Yeah, okay, put them up. You're going to be like, what? I'm here with your poverty. That's what God is saying. It's going to show up at your door. It's been traveling. Where you been? Oh, I mean, I arrived. You know, you was wondering what was happening. You was sleeping. It was feeling good all them years. Huh? Then all of a sudden, he showed up. Who? Poverty. And see, this is, and God, look, it's so much right there in the Bible. God is like I'm turning around and explaining to you. You can't sleep your life away. You got to get up, you got to get to work, and you got to stay at it. You got to take advantage of the day. The night is for sleeping, the day is for working. You get up and you go to work. I'm going to get to this one day, maybe this Sunday I'm going to talk about it. But I want people to think about this. You got to really be honest. God said, I want man 6 days for work, one day. I want you to go rest. But now, when did that become the weekend? When did it become Saturday and Sunday ain't even enough? Oh, now we need a 3-day weekend. Then we need a 4-day work week. When God designed it saying 6 days work, 1 day off, and if you violate that 1 day, then I'm going to get you. Other than that, God was like, good, work. See, we got to understand. People talk, Pastor, you can't work all the time. Well, I ain't saying work all the time, but you can't work 4 days. I'm sorry. That's not how you're going to get where you're trying to go. Now, you know, everybody can say, well, we just love. It ain't the same as well. Okay, I'm just saying, keep looking. Your bandit going to show up with that gun. Talking about, I've been looking for you while you out taking these 3 days. The other thing, and I'm going to close with this. The best thing that most people could do, now, I never had the privilege to have to worry about all this too much and being the one responsible. But the worst thing I think that people could do that run business is to have half work days. Half work days are useless because nobody comes to work to work. Everybody come to work and all they're worrying about is it 12 o'clock yet? Is it 1 o'clock yet? When we gonna get off? They spending their whole time preparing to go home. So the best thing you could do is just work. Work, take the whole day and work or take the whole day off. Just say, look, y'all, we ain't coming in today. Just don't come in. But all that half a day and all that, you never get nothing done. Because by the time you get your briefcase out, drink your little coffee, and run your mouth, done a couple things, it's time to go get ready to go. You can't get anything done. You have to realize, folks, there are ways this thing works. Now, people don't have to accept anything I'm saying. But all I'm saying is when poverty show up or whatever, you shouldn't be surprised. You shouldn't say, I can't believe you out here. No different than winter. I guarantee you, I bet you, I prophesy to you that within 10 hours, you will see the sun. You will. Watch me and see. Call me in the morning and see if you don't see it. 8 o'clock, I promise you, you will see the sun. Just like God telling you right now, stay in that bed. See who show up. Every head bow. We're going to get ready to go ahead and close. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you again for the opportunity to come into your house. We thank you for the word of God, and we just thank you for your people out there who take your word seriously. And that, Father, who are willing to consider the ant and consider what they need to do in order that they might grow, prosper in every area of their life, spiritually, financially, and in every relationship that they have. Father, we thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all, don't forget now, we've got a series of things going on here at the church, a lot of stuff. Sunday service at 10 o'clock a.m. We are live in person on Sunday morning. We are also doing our Sunday service live stream. It starts about 10:20 after our praise and worship. But get in the house. You'll enjoy the praise. We're having a great time. Then Sunday message will be online at 3 o'clock. We're still running it online. What we like to be able to do is those who show up, you can still get prayer. We're chatting with each other out there. And it's one more opportunity as the church to get together for a service. Invite somebody either to our in-person service, our online service, or our Sunday message online at 3. Don't forget Wednesday. We're doing our prayer service from 6 to 8. Get out here. Prayer is good. Not only are we praying now for the first about hour and 20 or hour and 40 minutes about, we're praying in our own corners and other places, some people under the pew, on top of the pew, wherever they can find it. And then the last 20 minutes or so, we're circulating the mic amongst the leadership and allowing them to pray for other people and pray for the church. And we're having a great time in prayer. Get out here for prayer. Bible study online like tonight, 7. We appreciate everybody that was online. If you get a chance, send it out to your friends. Let them take a look at what's out there. Communion service every Sunday, first Sunday. This first Sunday we'll be having communion, so get out here and join us for communion. Because remember, when we do that, we say we drink to ourselves strength, health, and long life. Look, God bless you all. We appreciate you. We'll see you on Sunday. Have a great rest of the week.